the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hey guys, and welcome to the podcast. My name's Dan Latto. So in this podcast, I wanted to talk to you about what to do if absolutely everything is going wrong and you're really struggling just to get out of bed, just to do the tiniest little bits, because let's face it, what's the point on doing just the tiniest little bits? And look, we've all been there at various times. We've all had a lot of pressure, multiple issues all coming at you from from different angles, like five or six or seven different smaller things, or maybe two or three really big things that are all just weighing you right down. And it's really easy to go, you know what, I'm not going to do anything at all. It's incredibly easy to do that, and I've definitely been there in my experiences as well. And that's also, by the way, not to say that I'm not going to have situations where I'm not going to feel like that again, because we never know what's in the pipeline, and it can happen to all of us. So what I wanted to do on this podcast was just talk through a few things that I think you should be able to do, even though everything is going wrong. So the first thing is put your pants on. Get out of bed, put some pants on. And pants, I mean trousers, jeans, not underwear. Put your bloody big girl or your big boy pants on. That's always the first step, is actually to get out of bed. You don't feel like it, and it's like, well, what's the point? The second bit is have a shave if you're a man. Obviously, if you're a woman, maybe you need a shave. I don't know. I don't know what you look like. But but sort yourself out. Put your war paint on if that's what you need to do. If you're a man, have a shave, cut your hair, give your beard a trim. Just because you feel like shit, it doesn't mean that you have to look like shit. And I'll tell you, and I've been through this as well, when stuff's going wrong, it's really easy to dress like a slob and to not shower for a couple of days and not bother getting a shave and, just look like an absolute mess, like a homeless person. And that really actually is not helping you. Because I'll tell you, in order to get out of this smog that you're in right now, of that you've been in, of that you're going to get to, all it takes is one tiny little thing to change your mind. And that tiny little thing can be just in your appearance. So like we did a podcast about how to smell wealthy, and it was basically about using, I mean, I use Molton Brown, it's 20 quid a bottle, it's not cheap. And I go out and specifically buy that because it makes me feel good. After a shower, I smell good and it lasts for a long time, even though it's 20 quid a bottle. So it's better than being average. The average person will just use, let's just say, Lynx or Axe, as it's known here in Spain. Like, I don't want to be average and I don't want you to be average. So why dress averagely? Why smell like the average person? Why have the average routine that the average person has got? Because if that's what you've got, then that's what you're going to get as well. We don't deserve that. We deserve something better. But I tell you, when you're feeling that smog, you don't feel like you deserve better. You feel like you deserve worse. And I know that as well. And there's a part of your mind that's going, well, I deserve to feel like this. And let me just stop you right there, because nobody deserves to feel like that. Nobody deserves to feel unworthy in any way, shape or form. And those people, because generally it is people that's making you feel like this, those people who are making you feel like that, you're giving them power. You're giving that bad debt on a nameless, faceless credit card, for example, power. And that's not on. That isn't right. That nameless, faceless credit card from wherever is making you feel bad. It's overwhelming. And when you pick up the phone and speak to a person about it, they're on minimum wage. They might work in a credit card company, but they've got no money. They're in credit card debt as well. Although generally in financial services, they have to have a decent credit rating, but they've still got credit card debt. Just because you've got credit card debt doesn't mean you have a bad credit rating anyway, right? So you're speaking to these people, and at the end of the day, you can turn around and tell Barclaycard or HSBC, jog on, I ain't doing it. So do whatever you need to do. You can write your letter saying, give me 6 months interest-free because I'm trying to sort this out. So at least you get a breather. And if you've not done that yet, then that's definitely something that you can do. But why give all these other people power over you and your self-worth? And for those people who thought about ending it all, and I know there's people listening to this, When asked in a room, and I never ask for a show of hands, but when asked in a room, and I always make sure up front, I say, please don't give a show of hands, but how many people have contemplated suicide? And you see everyone sort of looking around like, uh-oh, it's on about me here. There's a large proportion of people. And you're letting all these other people think about, you're letting all these other people have focus on what you do and how you feel. So, step one, put your big boy, big girl pants on. Step two, start to look good. Okay? Like, I'm not expecting you to look like Brad Pitt for the men and whoever for the ladies. Whoever, right? I'm not expecting that. I'm not expecting you, if you're 20 stone, to lose 12 stone and wake up and feel and look amazing. That's not what I'm expecting. But what I am expecting is for you to put your big girl, big boy pants on and start to look a bit better and start to smell a bit better, and you'll suddenly find a little bit of your self-worth. Now, the next bit that I'd like you to do if you're in this type of situation is I want you to write down a list of all the things that is the problem. And I think we talked about this on the last podcast about identifying what the actual problem is. Because when we can clearly identify what the problem is, we can also identify what the problem isn't. And when we know what the problem is, let's say your relationship's breaking down, okay? Fine. You know clearly it's your relationship. But what is the problem not? Well, it could be that something else in your life is going well. Or it could be that something else in your life isn't going well, but actually with a little bit of focus, you can make that thing go well. Give you an example. Health, your weight. The fact is that you can get up, put some shoes on, some running shoes, and go for a run. And if you do 5 minutes every morning, in 90 days, you will see a tremendous difference. 5 minutes. It takes you longer to put your bloody shoes on. Or if you can go to the gym 3 times a week, or even once a week, in 90 days, which is 12 weeks, so you've been to the gym 12 times, you'll see a difference. You won't just see a difference, you'll feel a difference. So this is like step four, is to actually take some exercise. The reason why we want you to take exercise is because the adrenaline that you're going to get coursing through your system is powerful. It's very inspiring. The second reason is, and it's a little bit of an out there sort of feeling. What we want you to do is, if you're struggling with a massive problem, what we want to do is we want to give you another problem somewhere else in your life. Now, I know that sounds crazy, and I heard this years ago, and I always thought, I always thought that if you're in pain somewhere, all you have to do is create pain in another part of your body, and it will distract you from the initial pain. And I always thought that as a young kid. And then in the last year or so, there was a scientific paper that came and said that that was accurate. And I thought, isn't that weird? I always knew that that was the situation. And so what we want to do is we want to give you something to overcome that's different than the main problem. So let's say it's a credit card debt is the main problem. What we want to do is we want you to go out and learn to run 10 miles. And the reason why we want you to learn 10 miles is that it's really painful running 10 miles. If you've never done it before, like if you're used to running 26 miles, running 10 miles isn't painful, so you need to run 50 miles, right? But if you've never ran 10 miles and you start training to run there, it's painful. But what you can see week in, week out is you'll begin to see progression. And what this does is it tells your unconscious mind that actually, when I sit and focus on the thing that I need to focus on, I start to make improvements. And by the way, this is directly related into the number of hours that you put into something on average. Not everything's on average. You know, if you've got a relationship problem and you're putting a lot of hours into it and it's still not getting better, then it chances are it's probably not going to get better. But actually, one of the reasons why the relationship isn't working in the first place is because you didn't put the initial time in that you should have done. And if you've got a weight problem and, you know, you then move your focus onto your relationship as the secondary problem to improve on that, then actually what will happen is, lo and behold, your relationship turns better because you're spending more time into it. And then because you're spending more time into it and you want to impress the other half, you want to lose some weight. So suddenly your health starts to improve. And it's really bizarre because you think that actually in order to solve this problem, I just got to sit inside this problem 24/7. And if I give this problem enough focus and attention, that problem will disappear. It doesn't work like that. I wish it did. Actually, I wish it didn't. And I'm glad it didn't. What actually happens is by you going out and creating all this other stuff elsewhere, the problem magically disappears. Or actually, just to go back to the running example, if you're running 10 miles and it's really painful, but you get there in 90 days or however, and by the way, it shouldn't take longer than 90 days. It really shouldn't. If you increased your run by 200 metres every day, after 90 days, that's 1,800 metres. Well, that's more than a mile that you're improving upon. So the way in which you do it is by making these little improvements. So you get your shower, you put your pants on, you look good, you smell good, all these tiny little things. Now, when it comes to actually sitting down and doing work in front of a computer or in front of a laptop, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to think of what is the... by the way, this is after you've written down what the problem is and what the problem isn't. But then I want you to write down, I want you to think about, what is the single biggest thing that I can do right now that will make the biggest difference? And I'm not saying that this has to be the biggest thing in terms of your time, because you won't sit there for 5 hours because you've got all this problem, this other problem playing on your head, running around your mind like a loose chicken in your head. And it's really hard to focus on anything else. But what you can do is you can focus for 2 or 3 minutes at a time. And that 2 or 3 minutes at a time, that turns into 3 or 4 minutes at a time. And that 3 or 4 minutes turns into 5 or 6 minutes. And that 5 or 6 minutes turns into 10 minutes. And that might take a week just to sit down and do 10 minutes. But actually, think about this. If you're doing nothing right now and you're up against the wall and everything's going bad for you, but actually you just spent 10 minutes out of the hour doing that, then actually, within a 7 or an 8 hour day, you're going to have worked 80 minutes solid on whatever it is that you need to work on. Now, compare that to per day to not doing anything at all. Does that make sense? It's a massive, massive difference. It doesn't feel like it because you're simply doing a couple of minutes of work at a time. But when you add up all that time, because there's some things in your life that actually you can get away with not doing for months and months and months. I couldn't get away with not doing my paperwork for maybe a month or two, okay? And then it gets really like a mountainous of paperwork with receipts and invoices and this and that and the other, okay? So I have to keep up to that at least once a month, you know, once every 2 months. Other things like my spreadsheet, I do that every day. And actually, I enjoy doing that and I'm in a lot of control over that spreadsheet because I can play about with numbers. If rent's not being paid, I can pull stuff forward. I can move repayments of other things later further back, you know, like service charges. I can always miss a service charge. You know, if you've got 20 service charges at 150 quid a month and you decide to move them all back, that's an extra £3,000. So if I've got a massive problem, let's say a boiler's gone, I've got no money to pay for it, I could do that if I wanted, right? So the spreadsheet allows me to have some control, some order in a world that there's lots and lots of disorder. And actually what we're doing is we're giving you certainty in a world of uncertainty because, you know, the 6 human needs, the big 3 really are significance, certainty and variety. Variety could also be called uncertainty. And what happens in most people's lives, the relationships are breaking down, the debt is really bad, but actually they don't know what the debt is even. We don't know how much money they owe and to who and by when. And actually, because in other words, you've got lots and lots of uncertainty. So actually what we do is we pull in lots and lots of certainty. And if you're unable to even get out of bed, then those first couple of steps will help. But then you get your spreadsheet and then you actually start plugging in the numbers. And it's painful to begin with. Like just like learning to run 10 miles if you're not a runner, that's painful to begin with. But actually what happens over a period of time is that you actually start to enjoy and even look forward to those runs. You will look forward to that pain because that pain of running takes away from the other pain of bad debt or bad relationships or whatever it is that's going through, death of a parent, that sort of thing. You actually look forward to these other bits that are painful, like the running and the spreadsheet, because you are in total control over that. And being in control over things that are causing you pain, that, you know, like good pain, if you like, then that actually detracts from the bad pain, the stuff that you've got absolutely zero control over. And so then what happens is that this problem will resolve itself one way or another, okay? It could be you're overweight. It could be that you're in debt. It could be a death of a parent or something like that. One way or another, that is going to resolve itself, okay? Now, you've got a choice here. You can either control how that is being resolved to some extent. Obviously, death of a parent, you can't. Or it can control you. And basically, it comes down to a simple choice. So, if it's death of a parent, it's going to control you. You can't do anything about that. But if it's debt, and sometimes you can't do anything about the debt, but you can speak to them and go, okay, what about a debt repayment plan? What about if we did this, this and this? And they go, no, it's not good enough. We're coming for you. And then understanding what the rules and regulations are about our debt, bailiffs and all that sort of thing can work. And then understanding about IVAs and bankruptcy and seeing what that's like. You know, going back 20 years ago, bankruptcy was like, it was like unmarried mothers 50 years ago, wasn't it? Not even 50, more like 70 years ago, where it was like really bad. Now people are like, I've been bankrupt twice. This is not me, by the way, this is other people. They're like, oh, I've been bankrupt twice. It's no big deal. I'm now multimillionaire. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's like a badge of honour. It's like the ASBO for the people who were very naughty on the council estate. So it's like a badge of honour going bust and going bankrupt and nearly losing houses. We nearly lost some houses. We went through some situations where with family court and solicitor's fees, and my head was in the sand and I wasn't paying debt and all the other things. I didn't pay mortgages for months. And it can really get on top of you. And we did exactly this, by the way. So this is not pie in the sky stuff. All of this comes from true real life experiences. And I remember going through this situation and just getting really fit and losing lots of weight. I put that weight back on, by the way, since. However, it worked for me to get through that. And now we've got a much more gestalt, I suppose, is the German word, a much more all round, success formula on health, relationships, wealth. By the way, we can still improve our health. so it's living here in Spain, the food is so nice all the time. Do you know what I mean? So I do find that quite difficult, but there you go. So, but this is the key, is to break down the steps that you've got into easy, manageable parts that you can do. And you know, write them down on a piece of paper. Step one, get out of bed. Step two, look better than you did yesterday. How about that? By the way, you can keep that as a rule for the rest of your life. You'll keep going to the gym. You keep looking good and making sure that you look pristine and so on. Number three, put your big girl or big boy pants on. Time to get yourself out of bed and look the part at least. Five, identify what the problem is and therefore at the same time identify what the problem isn't. And then six, focus on what the problem is. So now we know that. And on what the problem isn't, go and create something that's going to be painful. So if your relationship is failing, go focus on the money bit for a little bit. Or go focus on the health. If your money's failing, go focus on your relationship and go focus on your health. If your health's failing, go focus on the money a little bit and go focus on the relationships. Now, I'm not saying that all the focus should be taken away from the thing that's the problem, because you have to spend some time looking at that and solving that. The problem is, for most people, when they're in it, they're so deep within it, all they can see is it. It's like getting lost in the woods and knowing there's a way out, but everywhere that you turn, all you see is trees and you can't see the way out. And actually what happens and what you need to do is you go focus on something else, and that will allow the solution, it just pops, bubbles up out of your unconscious mind. You find the solution presents itself, sometimes quite by accident. And this is where the law of attraction sort of comes in. And I always think the law of attraction is a load of bollocks. And then something will happen. Something will happen and you go, that coincidence is too much of a coincidence. And I've just had one with some music, two separate bits of music that are really relevant in my life. It just this week. And they're really relevant, and they popped up in the most unfamiliar places. And I was like, why is that music playing right now? It's something it's trying to tell me. It was your message behind it that I need to listen to. And it's like, it's just weird how that happens. And I'm not into spirituality overly. I'm not religious. I'm not into law of attraction. But I see stuff, and you go, well, hang on a minute. There's something going on. Let's just maybe follow down this path and just see what happens. Maybe it's just a complete and utter coincidence and it is all bollocks. Or maybe it's there just to guide you. How the hell do I know? Like, how does anyone know? All the religious and spiritual people, they'll be going, oh, yes, 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 definitely. So, and all the scientist-type people go, nope, just a coincidence. I don't know. But I will use whatever it takes to get the result that I want. And if that's what I need to use and I feel okay in doing that, then I feel okay in doing that. You should feel okay in doing that too. You know, the thing about when you lose a loved one and there's white feathers everywhere, it means that's the angels looking at you and so on. Like, I just think that's a load of bollocks. And then I see all these feathers and I'm like, that's a bit weird. After something happens, it's like, well, that's a bit weird. Is that a coincidence? Or was I just not looking for them before and therefore didn't see them? Who the hell knows? you know, reticular activation system would suggest that when you when it's in your mind's eye, then you see the things all the time, and when it's not in your mind's eye, then you don't. So that could be why law of attraction works. But anyway, we digress. So this is like a really simple step program for you to just get what you want and to get you through this period, this process of what you're in right now. And it was Winston Churchill, and he said, if you're ever going through hell, keep going. And I know from experience that when you keep going on the other side, and Eric Thomas said this, he said, I know you're in pain, but go through it, because on the other side of pain is victory. And on that note, I think I'll leave you right there. All right, my name's Dan Latta. We'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.